You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with faith and family. Our mission is to share uplifting information that supports families in living more abundant lives. And I'm Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and this is radio the way it should be heard.
It starts in the ocean, and when I start my day, okay. Look slick, shout. After I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water, always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter, take her swimming, you gotta. Make these opposites back up like lobsters, indigenous warriors.
Good afternoon, faith and family friends. This is Reverend Dr. Carolyn L. Pettigrew. We are here on this lovely, beautiful fall day. With the leaves so gorgeous and many of them coming down, being collected. And we're thankful for God's creation of such a beautiful sight. We're just filled with gratitude. And we're grateful for you, our faith and family listeners, for joining us today. And we have a wonderful guest who's here to help us with our mission of living life more abundantly. And you know, that's what we do on Faith and Family. Our goal is to, and our mission is to present information that helps us to live more abundantly as Jesus would want us to. And so today we have Nicole Bergman, and she is the Executive Vice President of the Junior League of Columbus, Ohio. And our topic today is the Junior League of Columbus, Ohio, 100 Years of Community Service. Welcome, Nicole.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, I'm just glad to have you, and I always enjoy talking with you, and so I'm looking forward to this conversation today. The first thing I'd like to ask you is tell us something about the Junior League, its mission, or anything you'd like to share.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, like you mentioned before, the Junior League is celebrating our centennial year this year. And so on February 1st is our official birthday, celebrating 100. And the big thing that our mission is promoting volunteerism and developing the potential of women. And so we do this through our placements, through volunteer efforts that we have, and through our projects. And so, again, you know, the league has been around. Yeah, we have a variety of different projects that we do, and there's so many things that I'm excited to talk about today.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, 100 years ago, the Junior League was actually in the 21st century, and by that, what I mean is the fact that they wanted to train women to be volunteers and leaders in the community. And I have to reveal that I am a sustainer, being in that senior group. So I'm a sustainer, but I was a member for many years. And the wonderful thing about the Junior League is that they trained you for volunteer work and for positions on boards of trustees in Columbus businesses or non-profit organizations or for-profit organizations, and you had, as you mentioned, placements. Can you tell us a little bit about what you mean by volunteer placement?
Absolutely. And so, like, historically, what we would do is that the Junior League would do some research and work with, like, the City of Columbus and figure out what the needs were in the community. And once they kind of get an idea of okay, like, for example, children would be in need. And, like, hey, with children, you know, we need to give them a source of creativity. Or back in the 60s, they started the Greatest Columbus Arts Council. and they started doing arts in school, and they found that need. And then what they would do is create this project or program. And then as a junior league member, you can pick and choose what project you want to be on. And then you can volunteer in that specific project and that placement as well.
Yes. Well, I am very nostalgic when I think about placements because I was a docent, took the two-year training at the Columbus Museum of Art, and then I was a docent for the Columbus Museum of Art as a junior league member. I can remember with a small junior league committee, we got a small grant from Junior League, and we met to talk about how to serve women and children from ages birth to three for infant stimulation. So we got involved in that, finding families, training league members to provide infant stimulation for young families, and also on boards. I can remember being on the board of the old prior Children's Hospital before it became Nationwide Children's Hospital. I was on the board of trustees for the original Columbus Children's Hospital here in Columbus, Ohio. So what kind of placements have you had in your tenure as a junior league member?
Absolutely. And I'm starting my sixth year in the organization, and mine has been on marketing. And so I've kind of worked up the ladder in a sense where I started off doing the social media, and then I became the vice president elect and then the vice president of marketing. And then from there, I was the archivist.
So where my placement or other members' placements might be outside in the community, mm-hmm. Other people's placements might be in the junior league itself, helping it to operate and serve its members so that they empower the members to go into community. Well, you know, I wanted to ask you what kind of leadership training do you share with your members within the league? Do you have workshops and classes? And I know that you do.
Well, first off, we kind of look at members as every member is a leader in some capacity, right? So that everybody joined the organization.
Yeah.
So we automatically, right off the bat, you know, they are a leader just by taking that initiative to join the organization. And every month we have what we call general membership meeting. And so every month we have a different topic, and we it varies where we bring in speakers or we present in some capacity, just different topics. So again, every month we have a learning opportunity. We also have placement training. So going back with placements, you know, you might have somebody that has never created a budget before, and they're like, you know what, I don't know much about it, but let me take on that placement. So we have trainings to kind of help them with their placement and how to handle doing those types of things. And then we also are associated with AJLI, which is the Junior League International. And we have trainings, national trainings that we gather once or twice a year, and have trainings there as well.
Now, you mentioned AJLI. This is the Association of Junior Leagues. Are they still headquartered in New York?
Yes. And that's where the original Junior League started in 1901. And then, so they're still in New York.
About how many chapters? So how does the local chapter and the national chapter work together or relate to one another?
Oh, that's a really great question. So there is 295 plus. We're actually expanding around the world. So there's 295 leagues in the world. So that also includes one in Mexico, Canada, London, and I think there's a couple other ones that are opening up in different countries. And how AJLI works is that they also offer a plethora of trainings in their database. So
So again, it's something like, okay, how do I start a fundraiser? Well, they have tips and tricks and resources for us to use. And each league also has, we're together but separate. So we're separate in the sense of our league focuses on our two projects, which again focuses on foster care, and then the other one focuses on our museum, the Kelton House. And so if you as a member, move for work, let's just say you start in Columbus, but then, you know, move to Chicago, you can transfer to that league, and then their league, their focus might not be foster care. It might be food insecurities. So each league has their own focus area, but we all work together under the umbrella of AGLI.
To serve the community. That's the main goal, is to provide women, to train women as leaders, and they're already leaders, most of them, who come in, because most of the women in the chapters are career women already, and many have received training for the careers that they have. They share that with their local junior leagues, but they also are part of making sure that other women who need leadership in certain areas that they desire are trained in those particular areas also. And the National League, if I may sum it up, is sort of like an umbrella organization that tries to make sure that it can provide a plethora of leadership opportunities for members in the local chapters. Is that what you would you describe it that way?
Yes. Absolutely.
I think that's wonderful. That is wonderful. And their partnership too. Well, we'll get to that in a few minutes. I want to talk about the projects and the partnerships, because you mentioned the local focuses, and I want to talk about that. Because they're dear, near and dear to my heart, especially the foster care one. And I attended a training on that online. We're talking about membership. About how many members are there in the Columbus chapter?
I would say, so we have like different levels of a member. So you have a new member who is in their first year, and they're kind of gaining an understanding of how the league works. So it's kind of like a trial year. And then after the new member year, they then can decide whether or not they want to keep moving forward, and then they become an active. So as an active, you have to, throughout your active years, it's a minimum of 6 years. And throughout those years, you can choose your placements and figure out the way you want to go through the league. And so after 6 years, you then have the opportunity to become a sustainer. And so in another word, it's kind of like you get to retire. But again, you get to be part of the organization for however many years. We've had active members who were part of the league for 10 years, 15 years. I think I just heard the other day someone was in the league for 17 years. So
yeah.
you can be an active member for as long as you like. And then once you decide that you want to take a step back, you can then become a sustainer. So as of right now, we have close to, I would say, a little over 400 members in the league as of right now. So it includes new members, actives, and sustainers.
You know, it takes me back a long time. It kind of jogs my memory because when I was invited into the league, we call that first year the provisional year.
Yeah.
And do you use that term at all anymore?
We do not. No, unfortunately, that we switched it to new members.
Okay. And then we served until you could serve as long as you wanted to. You could be active, like you said. I, as a sustainer, could still find a way to be active in the organization.
Yeah.
We were eligible to, as you say, retire or go sustainer status or emeritus or whatever at 50. So now you don't have an age attached to it. You just allow people to serve a minimum year and of years, and then they can opt to stay in or they can opt to be active as long as they want to. I think that's wonderful.
Yes, the only age requirement that we have is that you have to be 22 years years old to join the organization.
Oh, I see.
So that is our only age requirement. You can join the league at any time in your life, just as long as you're at least 22.
That's interesting, because before you would need to be, would have needed to be older, less than 50. But that's great. I also wanted to know how you get to be a member. How does someone join the Junior League of Columbus?
That is a great question. Open enrollment would be open one time a year. And it would be open usually from like March to June. And you would apply to become a member. And then starting July 1st is when the new league year starts. So we're actually changing it up. And starting in January, we're doing rolling recruitment. And so what that means is that if you are interested in being a league member, you can join at that moment. So you still have to fill out your application, kind of walk through a couple of the steps, and then you can become a new member. So this, we're kind of excited to change this process, and we look forward, again, we're starting it in January. So it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for us, but again, we're excited to start allowing members to just hop in whenever they're ready.
Well, how do you market? How do people get to know about the Junior League?
Absolutely. So if you're interested in learning more about the organization, again, our website is a great resource.
Okay.
So going to our website and going underneath the Get Involved section, there's a variety of different resources there to kind of learn more about the league. And then as far as marketing, we market through our social media, of course. We're part of Columbus Young Professionals, and I'm not sure if you've noticed, City Pulse just published their fall charity guide, and we were the main feature of the magazine, kind of highlighting our centennial year. And so just getting more active in different things in the community has also been a great resource for us for marketing as well.
Yes, that was a fabulous article. Tell us some of the things that were covered in that article and how people might access it online, because it is an online magazine, correct?
It is, yep. So it would just be, I think it's citypulsecolumbus.com is the website. And then on the homepage, the first banner that talks about the new, I think they are, oh, I'm kind of blanking. They are just new, they're, oh my God, there's.
Well, they talk about the different years that Junior League.
So, on the website, it has a Next Up Columbus honoree class. And when you click on that, it takes you to the article.
That's wonderful.
And so in the article, it talks about the different things that we initiated or started or were heavily involved in throughout the decades. I don't know, do you want me to go through a couple highlights?
Well, what I liked about it is that it put it under the various years. So from the very beginning, when the chapter was founded, and then up to the present time. And I thought that was very interesting. I want to go back to the website, but yes, I would like for you to highlight a couple of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the beginning, so when we started in 1923, our biggest project, was actually our first project, was underneath occupational therapy. And what we would do is train the league members to different occupational therapy things, so like how to do knitted rugs, or I want to say like crochet, those types of occupational therapy. And then they would go into the hospitals and teach the children or hospital patients how to create those things. So that was like one of our first projects that we did. And then from there, throughout the years, it developed. So we did children's theater was a really big one. And we did a lot of plays. We did also like musical reviews for like the fundraiser component to it. But we also did a lot of children's theater and getting children involved in the arts in that manner.
I wanted to interject there because when I came along, the Junior Theater of the Arts had been started. That's what you're referring to, but maybe by a different name, and it had been continued. It was started by the Columbus Chapter of Junior League and was continuing. So my children, my godchildren, their friends, they all took classes at Junior Theater of the Arts, and it was just wonderful. And that continues in a form today. The Childhood League, the Junior League members helped to see that. And through the years, they have provided some of the talent for the musical review. Now it is, you know, in a different form now, but we have a history there. As you mentioned, you mentioned that.
Well, one of the another fun thing that I just recently kind of finally got the official, like, yes, this did in fact actually happen, was with the, like you mentioned, with the art museum. And then I knew that we did something with the docent program, but I didn't have confirmation of what we did. And so just recently, one of the members who work at the art museum shared their docent book that they wrote for their 100 years of being docents. So like their historical book, and it does confirm that the Junior League started the docent program at the art museum. And they started that back in the 1930s.
I'm an alum of the docent alums now. And the purpose of that program, we took training at the museum for a year. A year we were trained in art history, the art of leading tours, working with children, all of that. And then at the end of the year, we were graduated, PIN. And then our purpose was to lead tours, I believe, for fifth graders. Because I remember how fun it was that after I was graduated, I was able to lead a tour for my daughter who was at Columbus School for Girls, and then even did a special tour for younger set because my son was in St. Joseph's Academy. So that program continues today with very active docent alums also, and they've added tours to it and all kinds of midday lectures that people can attend. And that was started, and with all things that Junior League started and seeded with the grant money that they would give organizations to begin, they've turned into other names, other shapes, and all of that. But we have really contributed these 100 years to serving the Columbus community in very vibrant ways.
Absolutely. And I would also say in very, I would say like what's the word I'm looking for? So kind of like, so for example, this one, the docent program, it involves the arts. And then you have like Center for New Directions, which is now known as the New Directions Career Center. You know, that's more like that was originally women focused. You know, and then we have like Action for Children, you know, that is again, you know, helping mothers who are going into the workforce, you know,
and
helping. So like they're all a variety. And then we have like Owl Camp, which is with the Ohio Wesleyan University. You know, they just celebrated their 40th anniversary last year, I believe. And, you know, that is for middle school children. So really like all the projects are different from each other because we saw a need in the community. And then we try to fill in that need.
And they're formidable. They're formidable. They make a difference. And they're not just transactional. They're actually transformative programs. They change people's lives. For instance, you mentioned, Action for Children. When that first started, they helped parents find good quality child care so that they could feel comfortable going to work and had comfortable places to leave their children. And they even began to do they were the first to start training home care, child care providers. They would train home care providers in child development, science, crafts, whatever, so that when they got a certificate, they would graduate, then they could recommend this is a place you can leave your child and know that they'll be stimulated, not just watching TV or sitting around, but they would get good pre-school and child care, early child care support and development, and even for school-age children. So the kinds of programs that Junior League has seeded and that continue now and they continue to invest in now are programs that make a difference in shaping the lives of human beings and making people's lives more abundant and making their lives better. And I love that about the Junior League, that, you know, it's still teaching altruism. It's still supporting altruism, that we care for the people around us, everyone, not for ourselves, but also for others. And I love that. Absolutely. I really love that. You know, I wanted you to talk about that article and the contents of it. And if anybody wants to know more about the Junior League, that magazine article online is fabulous because it just lays out the whole 100 years of service to the community and to humanity, I would say. So can you tell us that the name of that magazine again?
Absolutely. It's called City Pulse. So it's citypulsecolumbus.org. And City Pulse is also under the umbrella of the Columbus Young Professionals.
Wonderful, wonderful. That's a good place to be and a good place to have people find out, because people who want to join will be able to get a very comprehensive view. Also, I want to, before we go to break, talk about the website again. What is the name? Do you put in Junior League, or what do you put in
JL, your browser? Yep, jlcolumbus.org.
Okay.
And
that's,
I will also
enough.
Say, so like we talked about earlier, is that, you know, I would say the majority of the major cities in the United States has a Junior League. And so the one thing I want to point out is that there's also a Junior League of Columbus, Georgia. And we have been confused quite a few times, where there's been like people would purchase tickets for our fundraiser, but it was for the wrong state. So we've had some fun interactions with that kind of confusion. So going to our website, it's jlcolumbus.org, not .com. .com is going to take you to Georgia. Fun fact is that if you go to any of our social media platforms, again, it'll be like JL Columbus, look for the Shape of Ohio, because that is the Ohio League versus the Georgia League.
That's good to know. That's good to know. And so is that the best way? Reading this Pulse article is a wonderful comprehensive way to learn about the league. And your website is an excellent way to get information and to learn how to get involved and to join. Is there another way that people might contact you?
I think those are the two main ones, and going into our the contact page. I mean, if you want to go straight and just email us, it would just be admin@jlcolumbus.org. But again, people usually kind of, it's just easier to go through our website.
I think so. I really think so. And we have a few minutes before we go to break. We've talked about membership, and you have 400 members in this in your chapter here. And what are the offices that you have in your in the chapter? I know president would be one.
Absolutely. So we have a, what we call a split level leadership. So we have our board of directors, which again focuses on this the strategy of the league, and then you have the manager council, and that focuses on the day to day. So as the executive vice president, I oversee manager council, and then the president would oversee the board. So some of the placements on the board, again, would be the president, executive vice president. We have a treasurer, a secretary. We also have the vice president of the Kelton House is also on the board. And we can talk about more on the Kelton House on the second half.
Yes, we will.
And then we also have sustainer reps that also sit on the board. We have a vice president of fund development. It's fund and partnership development. We have a VP of membership, a VP of community impact, VP of marketing. We have VP of DEIB, which is diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. We always, in the Junior League, we like to add on the belonging component.
And then we also have a secretary or an admin as well.
Most recent members, I'd say in the last 6 years, have they learned about you and come to you in membership through your website or through your email, or I'm sure a lot of them.
Yes, I would say majority of actually came through social media. And we do pretty well with social media, and I would say majority it's been social media, and then of course word of mouth through our members. Right, our members are our biggest supporters, and our members are our biggest salespeople. Right, you know, they're the ones that
go out and they love
the organization and they tell their friends.
That's right. Now, how many meetings do you have a year?
A good question. So with in my position, I have a unique position where I'm on the board and I also run manager council. So I have, in my placement, I have 2 meetings a month. But in a normal placement, so like if you are on the community impact team, you would have 1 meeting a month as well. But then you also have what we call an all-league, the general membership meeting. So really you want to attend that, but then also attend your placement meeting as well.
Okay, so for a provisional or an active member who is not on the board or the management council, they would have the general meeting, which is how often?
Once a month.
Once a month. And then they would have their placement meeting, and I guess that would be decided by their placement chair.
Yep, and it's usually once a month as well.
Is that right? Okay, that's great.
Yep. And then it depends. So for example, if it's a fundraiser and we're getting closer to a fundraiser, they might increase the amount of meetings just because they're getting closer to the fundraiser.
Sure. Do you have a fundraiser coming up?
We do. We have our biggest one is Holiday Tour of Homes. And so that is going to be on December 3rd. And we also have a kickoff party for the tour as well. And that's going to be on Friday, November 18th. So that's coming
up.
It's like next. Yes, so next week is our kickoff party.
So tell us those dates again, the
holidays. So, Holiday Tour of Homes is going to be in Dublin this year, and we have 5 houses on the tour, and they're decorated for the holidays, and the ticket includes access to the homes, checking out the decor. We also have bites from, like, local eateries, so we have, like, a savory and a sweet option as well. And we've been doing Holiday Tour of Homes for about 18 years, and it travels throughout Columbus in different locations. And so again, this year it's going to be in Tartan Fields, and then we will have a kickoff party, and that's going to be more of like a silent auction party that's happening next Friday.
Well, that next Friday, what is that? What date do you know?
That is Friday, November 18th.
The 18th, and then the holiday tour. Can you repeat that date? Those dates.
Absolutely. That's going to be Saturday, December 3rd. And that's going to be from 12 to 5.
All right. We want our listeners to know this is something they can do during the holidays. And, of course, they can go on your website and find out how to get tickets and all of that. Well, it sounds wonderful. I'm glad we got that in because that's very important. And they can learn more information about it by going on the Junior League website. Well, Nicole, it's always fun talking with you, and we can just talk forever. But for a few minutes, I need to take a break, and then we'll come back. And then for the next 20 minutes, we're going to talk about two of our favorite projects, the Kelton House and what you're doing in foster care. We'll be right back, friends and family.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there, and we'll be right back on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are 3 Boyce.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
Presenting Great Moments in the History of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Well, we're back, faith and family friends, and thank you for being with us today as we talk with Nicole Bergman, the Executive Vice President of the Junior League of Columbus, Ohio. And our topic today is the Junior League of Columbus, Ohio, 100 Years of Community Service. And if you've been with us during the first 30 minutes of Faith and Family, you know that Nicole is telling us all about the wonderful ways that the Junior League of Columbus and nationally and internationally shares their leadership skills with the community in order to help those of us in the community to live more abundantly. So welcome back, Nicole. We said that we would talk about the Kelton House and the foster care projects. You have many projects going in the Junior League, but these are two that we would like to talk about for the next minutes or so. So please tell us about those.
Absolutely. So I will go ahead and start off with the Kelton House. And so I'll go into a kind of brief history. So in 1976, the Junior League took over the Kelton House. And so the Kelton House is named after the Kelton family. And there's three generations of Keltons that lived in the house. So the last generation was a woman named called Grace Kelton. She was a famous international interior designer. And she, before she passed, I want to say she's around in her late 90s when, before she passed, and she decided to create a trust and put the house and her properties in a trust underneath the Columbus Foundation. In the trust, it's stated that if a organization didn't come and turn the house into a museum, the house was going to be torn down. And so the Junior League came in the nick of time, and we signed the contract on July 4th of 1976 to take over the property. And
well,
so
believe it or not, I was a member then.
That's crazy.
I was a member at that time, so that's a fun memory for me. Well, please continue.
Yeah, so it took us about 3 years to redo the house. And so they decided to focus the house on Victorian design. And so it's kind of like the house is designed of how it would have been back when they first built it in 1856. And then also what's the really great story is that the museum is also part of the Underground Railroad. And so the great story is that Martha was around 10 years old, and she came up, I believe, from West Virginia, and she was found on the side of the house. And the Keltons took her in and she became part of the family.
Yeah,
she lived with the Keltons up until her marriage, and then she ended up, you know, marrying and then moving on. But the house is also part of the underground. It has an Underground Railroad historic marker. And we also have the Underground Railroad Learning Station that we started in the 90s. And so this program is actually, we're celebrating 20 years of having this program. And we have school-age children come to learn about the Underground Railroad and, of course, the Victorian style as well. And another fun fact, if you don't mind if I mention.
Oh, sure, please.
Back in May, there was a House bill, it's House Bill 340, that the Junior League and the Cowan House was a part of and spoke on behalf of, which was passed, and we were part of the signing of the bill. And the bill was to have September be recognized as National Underground Railroad Month. And
yeah.
So what's really great about this, and fantastic and historic, is that Ohio is the first state to recognize this and make it a law. We are number 13 overall, but the other states, they're all government proclamations, which means once the governor moves on, the proclamation is up to the new government or new governor to keep that proclamation going. So we're the first state to turn into a law. And so, as you can imagine, the month of September was very busy for us as we celebrated National Underground Railroad Month.
That's wonderful, wonderful. So you had lots of tours and reenactments and
absolutely. And then we had a celebration. And what was really, really amazing about this, at the end of the month, we did have the celebration. We had this orchestra come in. I want to say it's a Columbus Orchestra, Columbus Cultural Orchestra, I believe. They came in and they played for us. But what was really amazing is that we had descendants of Martha come to the event.
Wonderful.
Yes. Yeah, so it was like the great-great-grandchildren of Martha coming and enjoying the event. So it was really amazing month for us in celebration.
That would be. And I guess my question is, how did you locate them? Do you know?
So we have a new director, Sister Richard. She's been there for about 2 years. And she has been in contact with them, I would say, over the last year and a half. Just kind of,
wonderful.
Yes, it's been great. They've come to the Kelton House before this event, and yeah, she's been in constant contact with them, and trying to learn more about Martha.
That is wonderful. Well, I know that the Kelton House is a lovely place. To visit a historical place and a very moving stories about the life of the Underground Railroad, including the house and that whole corridor there, the historical corridor there. And I know that I had some years ago belonged to another organization, and I actually had our breakfast meeting at the Kelton House. And that's another service that the Junior League does. They keep this history alive for us because it's so important, but they also allow you to rent it and have events there. The public can rent it and have events there. Isn't that true? Is that
absolutely
still true? And they
absolutely
can look on the website and find out the information for touring the Kelton House, for coming to for just tours on the historical Victorian style, for getting the tours about Underground Railroad, attending the reenactments. Don't they have one about Martha's wedding or something?
Yeah, and we also have, I want to say, the second Sunday as well. But we also revamped kind of like our educational committee. So we have fun, new, exciting things. I want to say the month of, I think right now during the month of November, we're kind of focusing on Grace Kelton and her travels.
Yeah.
And I think there's an event coming up talking about Ikebana and the art of Japanese flower arrangement. So we're kind of changing up and you know, getting some fun things happening at the Kelton House.
Broadening out, keeping the core.
Absolutely.
Of the Victorian and the Underground Railroad, and also
yes,
broadening out in terms of the lives of the people. And the gardens are beautiful. I conducted my first wedding there when I was first graduated from seminary. I had my first wedding there for a young couple in the garden at the Kelton House, and it was lovely. And the gardens are still lovely today. And that's something people get to see when they tour, don't they?
Yes, absolutely.
So
absolutely,
that is a wonderful, wonderful project, and it's alive. That's what I love. It makes history alive, and as you add these other components to it that you just mentioned, it just keeps history alive and keeps the also the elements of social justice alive, which Junior League is very involved in also. And that leads us to one of your signature projects for the Columbus chapter is the foster care. So tell us
it's
about
called
that.
Bridging the Gap. Absolutely. So it's called Bridging the Gap. So like I mentioned before with the Junior League and how the Junior League works is, you know, back in the day, they would go and, you know, do the research in the community and like figure out what the need is. And then we would develop a program or a project and then launch the project. And then sometimes it turns into a nonprofit. So I know we talked about a couple of the things like Columbus Landmarks and Action for Children, CASA, you know, those things like turned into and became more like we released it into the Columbus community. And so the newest project we developed was called Bridging the Gap. So this is, I would say, close to like a 5-year process where we did a lot of research to figure out what is the new need that we can kind of come in and help. And that is foster care. And the biggest one of the biggest issues with foster care is actually youth aging out of foster care because they don't necessarily have their resources, you know, provided to them to then, you know, release out into the world. So with Bridging the Gap, we kind of help guide, advocate, and provide for these youth aging out of foster care. So with the guide component, that's something that we partner with the Franklin Cowan Children's Services, and we do life skills classes. We've also worked with like Star House and creating other classes with them. Like just recently, we went in and learned how to bake cookies, and we work with the youth there with the baking project. And then with Advocate, you know, we were also part of advocating for the Youth Ombudsman's Office a few years ago.
Yes.
And so I believe that passed. And so now there's the Ombudsman's Office. Yes.
Yes.
So we were part of that advocating component. And then, you know, May is foster care month, and we do a lot of advocating there and a lot of, you know, how you can help. You know, you could become a foster parent. You can help foster parents. Or you can adopt, you know, so that month of May and then throughout the year, we kind of do a lot of advocacy type of things of just more education and educating the community on these youth. The last component is provide. And so that's where we raise funds and provide physical items for these youth.
So last year, again, we partnered with the Franklin County Children's Services, and we raised funds. They have youth that are graduating out of high school, and we help with their graduation gifts. So when they graduate out of high school, you know, they turn 18, they can then, you know, move on. And we help provide them with a variety of life or items for like their home.
I love that. I love that. I've always been so thrilled about that and so pleased. I went to the workshop, attended the workshop, where they talked about establishing, being partners in establishing the ombudsman. And that is working so that children in foster care, if they need to have someone advocate for them or to share some needs that they have and are unmet or some whatever they need, they can call someone in the ombudsman office. And I think that is so important. They've had the office for senior citizens, and I think it's just important to have such an office for children in foster care. And there's a real heart-rending reason that I do believe in this. And so I just think it's so thrilling that Junior League has been a part of partnering with this. We signed petitions and that sort of thing to be sure that this office got established. And that, again, is an example of transformation in a community. Also, I was excited, too, at the one of the stages where you had the apartments and you were fundraising, asking people to supply housing items for these youth who are aging out for their apartments. Can you say a little bit about that?
Yeah, so that's part of the Project Provide. So in the Bridging the Gap, again, we have Guide, Advocate, and Provide. So it's like a three-part component to this project, and that's underneath the Project Provide. And so when we first launched this back in 2020, we actually launched in March of 2020, like literally right when COVID happened is when we launched this. And we partnered with Star House, and they're building and finishing up Carol Stewart Village. And so we helped, we created, I think we put together 105 essential kits for their apartment. And that was the first big project that we did with Bridging the Gap. And then last year, we worked with Franklin County Insurance Services. We will also be doing that as well this upcoming year. And on top of it, we also partnered with Hook House. And this December, we are doing the Hook House. It's a very merry Huckleberry holiday. And so we are managing this holiday drive. And it's going on right now where people can sign up to adopt a foster care or a youth in foster care. And it has a list of, it's like a kind of like an angel tree, and it has a list of items that they're asking. And so we're partnering with Huckleberry House for their holiday drive. And that's one of the big projects that we're working on for Christmas or the holiday season. And then, in the spring is when we'll be focusing as well on, again, the Franklin County Children's Services project.
That is just all wonderful. That just speaks to the love of people, the transformation, the connection to social justice, and the work of, and more, of the work of the Junior League. It's just a seminal work. It's just wonderful. And it builds, it's foundational, because what happens is that people and communities are changed forever for the good. And that's what I love about it. I wanted to ask you more about this a very merry Huckleberry House. Tell me about that project a little more. How could people donate, or what do you need, or do they
Absolutely.
Go to the website?
Mm-hmm. So I want to point out that I think this is just such a fun name that they gave it. So it's a very merry Huckleberry holiday, and it's a holiday drive. The information's on our website. So again, if you go to jlcolumbus.org, You'll see it right on the front page. And it is essentially kind of like the old school angel tree, at least from what I, you know, growing up, it was always called an angel tree. And it is like you're adopting a family for the holiday. And instead of a family, it's a youth. And they created their own kind of wish list. And you, there's a sign-up genius, and you kind of read through the descriptions, and you just pick one. And then we will have a drop-off. We have a drop-off date as well, and you can drop them off at the Kelton House. So it's kind of like a two-for-one, so you can, you know, participate and then also come and see the Kelton House as well. So that's a fun little component.
And that is right now. Has that begun right now?
That has launched, yes. So you can sign up to, again, kind of like adopt a youth. And the second week of December is when there's you can drop off the items.
Okay, that's wonderful to know, because I think there would be listeners who would be interested in participating in this project. I know when we were raising our children to just, it's just a token, we did lots of other things. But one of the things we did do is we would get a list from a certain organization in the city, get, we had a boy and a girl, got a list, a wish list from a boy and a girl, and we would get those things and then drop them off. And I think it's very important to teach our children to think about others and to care about other people. And I think this is a wonderful way for a family to do a Christmas project or giving to others other than themselves to be more inclusive. And so I love it.
There's 160 people who are signed up as part of the push list. So we're really trying to, and we launched it on November 1st, and we're excited to say that we're about 40% away from our goal.
Wonderful.
40% of our goal. So
congratulations.
Yes. A lot of people, again, this is the holiday season, and you know, it's the gift, the season of giving. And so we're excited, and we really hope that we're able to really make an impact in these youth.
Absolutely. And you will, and you are. Well, Nicole, we could just continue to talk for hours about this organization, but Faith and Family listeners, thank you so much for listening to us today. And if you're interested in any of the projects that Nicole has talked about, go to the webpage, jlcolumbus.org, and view the webpage and click on the areas that you need to know more about. And we're especially encouraging you about the joining, if you're interested, the December fundraiser, and this very merry Huckleberry Holiday House. I think this is wonderful. We've been talking about 100 years of community service of the Junior League of Columbus, and we have been with Nicole Bergman, and she is the Executive Vice President of the Junior League of Columbus. Thank you so much, Nicole, for being with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely, all the time. So now, Faith and Family listeners, we thank you for being with us. And in our traditional way, we'll close with, we usually close with a poem or prayer. And today, because it is the season of gratitude, and we're encouraged to be grateful every day, and we'll close with a prayer. Our Father, our God, creator of all things, let us take a minute to say thanks. On this day, we live in your spirit, on your planet, and amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of today. We rejoice in our gratitude for the gifts you have given us today, have enriched our lives beyond measure. We thank you for the love you show us, and the sacrifices you made for support of us. May we continue to appreciate your love each and every day. We thank you for your love. We thank you for caring for us in our daily journey. Thank you for guiding us in our decisions. Thank you for giving us wisdom when we stumble. Thank you for leading us to support one another. Oh, Lord, the love and care you show us blesses our daily lives, and we are better for it, and we are able to serve others and to make their lives better and more abundant as you call us to be and to do. We praise you for your love through this prayer of gratitude. Thank you, our Heavenly Father and Creator. Amen. Thank you for listening.
You got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.